Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Forget about the problems. Forget about the crowd. Forget about bonus. Go ahead and just have fun. Make yourself proud and make Ghana proud. Let's go!
Make yourself proud and make Ghana proud. That's former Ghana football captain Stephen Appiah giving the Black Stars a locker room pep talk ahead of their 2018 World Cup qualifier in Congo Brazzaville. With some verbal motivation from Appiah, the Black Stars went out and beat Congo Brazzaville 5-1 to keep alive their hopes of qualifying for next year's World Cup in Russia. Atletico Madrid midfielder Thomas Partey scored a hat trick for Ghana, while Red Star Belgrade man Richmond Bouachi had two goals. Now, Ghana's big road victory came 4 days after they drew 1-1 with the same opponents in Kumasi. My Ghanaian colleague Peter Cloti was shaking his head after the 5-1 scoreline in Brazzaville. Peter said to me, "Sonny, why couldn't the Black Stars have played like that in Kumasi?" The Black Stars now have 5 points in Africa World Cup qualifying Group E. That puts them 4 points behind top of the table Egypt, which regained the group lead with a 1-0 victory over visiting Uganda in Alexandria. Liverpool man Mohamed Salah scored the game's only goal 6 minutes into the match. The Egyptians will next host Congo Brazzaville next month in Alexandria, while Uganda is at home against Ghana in Kampala. The teams will play one more round of matches in early November, and then we'll know which team has booked a ticket to Russia 2018. Our Voice of America football fans will remember the top team in each of Africa's 5 World Cup qualifying groups books a ticket to the global soccer showpiece. Let's take a look now at the 4 other African qualifying groups and the results. In Group A on Monday, Libya edged visiting Guinea 1-0, while in Kinshasa on Tuesday, the Democratic Republic of Congo and Tunisia drew 2-2. The Tunisians topped this group with 10 points, followed by the DRC with 7 points. Guinea and Libya, with 3 points each, have been eliminated in the race to Russia. In the next round of World Cup qualifiers, Guinea will host Tunisia next month in Conakry, while Libya is at home against the DRC. Turning to Group B, Nigeria and host Cameroon play to a 1-1 draw Monday in Yaounde, while Zambia scored a big 1-0 road victory over Algeria Tuesday, getting a 66th-minute goal from Patson Daka. This is now a 2-team race between the Super Eagles of Nigeria and the Chipolopolo of Zambia. The Super Eagles have the inside track to Russia 2018 with 10 points from 4 qualifiers. The Chipolopolo have 7 points. The reigning African champion Indomitable Lions of Cameroon with 3 points and the Desert Foxes of Algeria with 1 point have both been eliminated. I'm sure the many football fans in Cameroon and Algeria are not happy about that. But they're out of it. Cameroon and Algeria both officially eliminated in the race to Russia 2018. In the next round of matches on October 7th, Nigeria will host Zambia in Uyo, and Cameroon is at home against Algeria in Yaoundé. In Group C results Tuesday, Gabon surprised host Ivory Coast 2-1 in Bouaké, while Mali and visiting Morocco played to a scoreless draw in Bamako. This is a very tight group. Ivory Coast now has 7 points, followed by Morocco with 6 points and Gabon with 5 points. Mali is at the bottom with 2 points. In the next round of qualifiers in early October, Mali will host Ivory Coast in Bamako, and Morocco is at home against Gabon in Casablanca. Finally, Group D. Now, this group is even tighter than Group C. Burkina Faso and Cape Verde are at the top with 6 points each, followed by Senegal with 5 points and South Africa with 4 points. In results Tuesday, Cape Verde scored a 2-1 road victory over host South Africa in Durban. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to a player for Cape Verde who's based in Turkey, Galatasaray man Gary Rodriguez, who scored 2 second-half goals for the Blue Sharks from Cape Verde. In Tuesday's other group match played in Ouagadougou, hosts Burkina Faso and Senegal battled to a 2-2 draw. In the next round of World Cup qualifiers on October 7th, South Africa will host Burkina Faso in Johannesburg, and Cape Verde is at home against Senegal. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Music time in Africa. Tune in to your local radio station Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20 and 2200 Universal Time. That's what's up.
Why? But tell me where you going.
What?
Why do we get them mama shop me land?
Them mama shop you land?
Hey, them mama shop me land. Them be shunning.
My name is Segun Adeyemi, nicknamed Segun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi, by former VOA Chief of English to Africa, Barry Mon. I worked as a stringer for the VOA for 29 years, during which I hosted an African sports program, Nightline Africa Sports. I stopped working for VOA in 2016 when I was appointed special assistant to the Nigerian president. My long years with the VOA and the wide reach of the radio station raised my profile, gave me much leverage, and opened my eyes to what is possible. The Sunny Side of Sports, the popular program hosted by Sonny Young, was my main platform as a stringer until I became the host of Nightline Africa Sports in my last 10 years with the VOA. Thank you, VOA, for a great opportunity, and congratulations on this 75th anniversary.
Thank you, Segun, for that nice message about the 75th anniversary year of the Voice of America's first broadcast. Let's continue with the Road to Russia 2018. There will be a total of 32 teams competing at next year's World Cup football tournament, and one quarter of the field, or eight teams, have officially booked their tickets. Let's run down those eight teams now. Russia earned an automatic ticket as host. Also from Europe, Belgium has booked its ticket to Russia 2018. From South America, Brazil, winner of a record five World Cup trophies, will once again be contesting for football's highest honor in Russia. From the North America, Central America, and Caribbean region, Mexico has officially booked its ticket for Russia 2018. And from Asia, four more teams have qualified for the World Cup: Iran, Japan, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia. The South Koreans and the Saudis officially qualified on Tuesday, while Syria kept alive its dream of playing on soccer's biggest stage for the first time. Australia, the reigning Asian champion, will face Syria in a playoff to stay in contention for a World Cup place after both teams missed a chance to seal automatic qualification as the group stages of Asian qualifying came to a close. In Group B, Australia beat Thailand 2-1. Now, that left Saudi Arabia needing to win by just one goal against visiting Japan. Fahad Al-Muwallad secured that goal for the Saudis. In the 63rd minute, he knocked a strike into the top right corner of the net to give the Saudis a 1-0 win and their first World Cup appearance since 2006. With the final whistle, there were celebrations throughout Saudi Arabia. Meanwhile, in Group A, South Korea and Uzbekistan played to a goalless draw. That was enough for the South Koreans to clinch their World Cup berth ahead of Syria. Visiting Syria would have qualified for its first World Cup with a win at Iran, which had already qualified as group winner, but that match ended in a 2-2 draw. So here's the way it looks now. The winner of next month's two-leg playoff between Syria and Australia will face a team from the CONCACAF region, that is, North America, Central America, and the Caribbean, for a World Cup berth. One of those CONCACAF teams is the good old USA, which salvaged a valuable point against host Honduras Tuesday, drawing 1-1 in another 2018 World Cup qualifier. Striker Bobby Wood, who was born in Hawaii and is based in Germany, got the equalizer for the Americans in the 85th minute. The Americans are currently in fourth place in their CONCACAF qualifying group, but they could move into third place with a victory over Panama in their next qualifier. The top three teams in the CONCACAF region earned tickets to Russia 2018, and the fourth place team will play either Syria or Australia in a two-leg playoff in November. Kick it!
Scouts.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again here in balmy Studio 22, quite comfortable today, is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Yeah, it's a little chilly and rainy outside today in Washington, D.C., but not in here. Bringing the summer, late summer here in Studio 22.
Quite comfortable. I guess if there is rain up in New York, they can close that roof for the U.S. Open tennis tournament. I'm guessing the tennis is trending, Andrew.
Oh, Sonny, it is. The U.S. Open is living up to its name on the women's side. In the lower half of the draw, it's going to be an all-American matchup in the semifinal. So first, we have Sloane Stephens, who's been plagued by injury. She went out in the first round at Wimbledon just a month ago, Sonny. She was ranked 957 in the world.
Wow.
Sloane Stephens takes out world number 17, Anastasia Sevetsova of Latvia, 6-3, 3-6, 7-6, to book her spot in the semifinals. A thrilling match, one that the crowd was definitely into. Here's what Sloane had to say after the match about that excitement and the noise level there in Arthur Ashe Stadium.
I couldn't hear, like, anything. It was so loud in there. But I think that's what tennis players play for. Obviously, as an American, playing at your home slam, to have a crowd like that behind you is incredible. I don't think there's any better feeling or better moment you'll get out of playing tennis. And, I mean, yeah, it was pretty awesome. My first match on Ash, so for me, I didn't really know what to expect, and I wasn't used to the noise and all that stuff, so it was a little bit of an adjustment. But other than that, I mean, that's what tennis players live for.
And that's what the fans were living for, Sonny. Not just the excitement of that close final set, but an American prevailing and moving on. And it was all in her first match at Arthur Ashe. So pretty amazing stuff. 23,000 seats there. So quite an impressive place to play. But a few hours after Sloane's big win, she was joined by another very well-known American, the 7-time Grand Slam champion, Venus Williams. And under the lights of Arthur Ashe, Venus Williams had another thriller as she beats world number 14, Petra Kvitova, 6-3, 3-6, 7-6. And if that scoreline sounds familiar, it was the same exact scoreline from that Sloane Stephens match.
Interesting.
Although Venus won two more points in the tiebreak, so it wasn't exactly the same, but it was pretty close there. But it wasn't easy for Venus to get to that point, especially when she went down in the second set.
When I had opportunities in this, you know, second set and so many break points disappearing, you feel like, wow, I should be doing more, but you have to put it behind you. And then for 3-all, I felt, okay, now I'm really ready to hold serve and not get broken anymore. So there were still moments where it was very close, and you have to expect that. You have to expect to fight right through those close moments. But definitely I felt at 3-all, like, all right, here we go again.
And here we go again for Venus, back in the semifinals of a major tournament for the third time this year.
Wow.
Of course,
wow.
Venus ended up going to the finals of both the Australian Open, where she lost to her sister Serena, and the finals of Wimbledon, where she lost to Garbiñe Muguruza of Spain. So Venus having quite an impressive year there. Sloane and Venus will now play each other in the semis, which means there will definitely be an American woman in the final of this year's U.S. Open. Now, in that semifinal, it'll be a chance for Venus to claim her third U.S. Open title and her first since 2001. So if Venus can get to the final, that's what's on the line for her. If Sloane can get to the final, it would be her first ever Grand Slam final. So she's only made the semis once before at the Australian Open in 2013. She's back in the semis for a second time and hoping that she can go all the way and win this title. Now, on the top half of the women's draw, you have world number 22 Coco Vandeweghe playing today against world number 1 Karolina Pliskova. And tonight, number 16, Madison Keys, is going to face the unseeded Estonian Kaia Kanepi, who is coming back from injury, making quite a run there. Now, Vandeweghe and Keys both managed to win. They will meet in the semifinals in the top half of the draw, making it an all-American semifinal, Sonny, on the women's side. It would be the first time there'd be an all-American semifinal in a major tournament on the women's side since Wimbledon 1985.
Amazing.
So, almost over 30 years since we had an All-American semifinal, a lot of American fans pulling for that at the U.S. Open up there in New York.
I know there has been criticism of the lack of a major American male star in professional tennis, but the ladies really seem to be upping their game in New York.
Oh, it's been a breakout year, and one that I think is going to carry over, hopefully, into future years. You know, Sloane Stephens, Madison Keys, Coco Vandeweghe, they're all in their early 20s, so they've got quite a long career to go there, and hopefully they'll keep up that good work.
And 37-year-old Venus Williams just plugging along, playing great tennis, and maybe if she does win the trophy, Andrew, maybe Aunt Venus can show it to her new niece.
That's the joke, that her niece, Serena's baby, is going to be winning those trophies in another, you know, maybe 15, 16 years or so. We'll see how that goes. But as you mentioned, Sonny, on the men's side, it has not been as fruitful for the Americans. And unfortunately, that was the case this year. No such luck for American Sam Querrey, who got to the quarterfinals but lost there. But who did he lose to? South African Kevin Anderson, who goes to his first ever major semifinal. He's the first South African in the Open era to get to a major semifinal. And after that match, he tweeted out in just one word, speechless.
Wow.
So he is excited to be there. Very big win for him as he's recovering from injury. A lot of these players recovering from injury, coming back and doing quite well this year. In the semifinal, Kevin Anderson is going to face world number 19, Pablo Carreño Busto of Spain. These are not two guys, Anderson and Carreño Busto, that many people thought they would see at the U.S. Open, but with all those withdrawals we talked about last week, with all those top 10 players being out, it really opened up the draw. However, on the top half of the draw, two guys that many people, I would say, expected to see go quite far in the tournament will be Roger Federer, of course, and Rafael Nadal. If they can win in their quarterfinal matches today, they will play in the semifinals against each other. And this is an amazing stat. I really can't believe this. I don't think a lot of tennis commentators can believe this. If they play each other in the semifinals, Federer and Nadal, it'll be the first time ever that they will meet at the U.S. Open. They have never played each other at the U.S. Open before. They've played each other at just about every other tournament under the sun, but not the U.S. Open. So it would be quite interesting. First, Nadal has to get through the Russian Andrei Rublev, who's had a surprise run to the quarterfinals. And Federer, perhaps a little tougher challenge. He'll face Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina, the man who shockingly beat him at the 2009 U.S. Open final. So that's going to be a really good match. After Del Potro's match against Dominic Thiem of Austria, some people saying it's the best match of the year. Del Potro, down two sets to love, comes back and wins it in dramatic fashion. Turns out he was suffering from a virus and he was sick, and he managed to win, come from behind victory. So we'll see if he can carry that momentum against Federer or if he's going to be a little worn down.
Andrew, kudos to the South African Kevin Anderson. Before the U.S. Open, Kevin stopped right here in Washington at the City Open. I know you had a chance to chat with him. Did you get a sense that he was going to make this kind of run at a major?
I don't think he even had a sense that he would make this kind of run at a major. The furthest he had ever been before at the U.S. Open was the quarterfinals. The furthest he had been in any other major was the fourth round. So this is really uncharted territory for him. But when I did speak to him at the City Open, he emphasized that he's feeling good, playing well on the hard courts, felt like he was having a really good season. So you could definitely sense the optimism and the physical wellness that he's experiencing, and hoping that combining those two things together, that he could carry that on to some great things. And indeed he has, on the biggest stage in tennis, Arthur Ashe Stadium there in New York. So we'll see if he can keep it going. Maybe face Federer or Nadal in the final if it shakes out, but already making history, the furthest South African ever in the major era.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the September 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Yeah. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
No business endeavor can succeed without reliable and inexpensive delivery of electric power. Indeed, lack of energy has long been a damper on economic growth in sub-Saharan Africa. Yet today, some 620 million people living in Africa have no access to electricity. That is why 4 years ago, the United States launched the Power Africa Initiative. Power Africa is a partnership made up of 12 U.S. government departments and agencies, African governments, and a diverse coalition of more than 150 public and private sector partners, including bilateral and multilateral partners, international organizations, civil society organizations, and more than 130 private sector companies. Power Africa's approach recognizes that the public sector alone cannot solve the immense challenge of expanding electricity access in Africa, wrote United States Coordinator for Power Africa Andrew Herskowitz at the release of the 2017 Power Africa report. Rather, it is essential that we strategically use limited public funding to leverage large amounts of private capital and create enabling environments that will encourage continued investment for decades to come. Power Africa's goal is to double access to electricity in sub-Saharan Africa by increasing installed generation capacity by 30,000 megawatts and adding 60 million new household and business connections by 2030. Today, Power Africa is among the world's largest public-private partnerships in development history. It brings together more than 150 public and private sector partners. Together, they have committed over $54 billion toward achieving the initiative's goals. As a result, in the 4 years of its existence, Power Africa has facilitated power sector transactions that will generate more than 7,200 megawatts of power and have supported 10 million electrical connections, bringing electricity for the first time ever to over 50 million people. Power Africa has great potential to transform the continent while also creating new and expanded opportunities for U.S. companies, writes USAID Administrator Mark Green. The purpose for foreign assistance should be ending its need to exist. The progress that Power Africa is making shows that this is possible. Its efforts and American leadership have resulted in significant international momentum towards tackling Africa's energy crisis.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
And AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.